Well, good morning. We just want to welcome you to this wonderful service, no matter where you're at this morning. We're obviously gathering together in a unique way because of the necessity of what's happening in our world and in our community. And yet I think it's actually an amazing opportunity. In fact, this is the first time as a church we've been able to gather together as one. If you think most normal Sundays, we're six campuses spread out around this region, thousands of people to gather. And I'm just believing that today, though, that this is going to be a bit different. I believe that the impact of the message and the impact of this service doesn't have to be diminished. In fact, I believe that it could be magnified. And I believe that the impact could go even further than what we actually experience. You know, though you may be gathering in your home or with some friends, and it's a little bit different, I believe it's important for us to remember that it's not how we gather, that it's not where we gather, it's not when we gather, it's the power is in the fact that we gather and what happens when we gather. And I was praying about this as I just have in my mind pockets of people all over the place watching this together, maybe as friends, maybe as family. You know, Jesus said something really amazing in Matthew 18. He says, where two or three gather in my name, that I'm there in that gathering. So whether we're in a big building or whether we're in a great worship service, if we are gathered together in Christ's name, he says his presence is actually there right where you're at. And not only that, but it says where two or three people actually agree on a thing, that whatever they ask, it will be done for them. So I just pray that no matter where you find yourself at, no matter what's happening in your life, that I have great confidence and expectation that through all this, God's going to encourage you. He's going to give you strength for the days ahead and maybe rekindle some hope that may have been lost as a result of some of the things that we are experiencing. You know, it is an unprecedented time in history, not only in our church and our community, but in our world. I mean, it's very rare that a single event affects everybody globally. And that's something that we've experienced, maybe unlike many things that we've experienced in our lifetime. Maybe only wars could compare to what we're actually walking through and what we're experiencing right now. You know, one of my favorite quotes, I've used it oftentimes, that I think is relevant for what we're walking through during this season. It's D.L. Moody. He said that a scared world needs a fearless church. A scared world needs a fearless church. And I think, you know, I don't think it would be a stretch to think that we are in a time to where there's a lot of fear. There's a lot of people that are worried. There's a lot of people that are concerned. And it's also an opportunity for the church to be the church. And some might be thinking, well, if we're so fearless, then why not gather like we normally do? It feels like maybe we're shrinking back. But I believe it's important for us to realize that fearless isn't the same as careless. Fearless isn't the same as careless. You know, when Paul wrote to Timothy, he says that you haven't received a spirit of fear, but you have a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind, that we need to exercise good judgment and wisdom and actually demonstrate real care to our community. And that's really what we're trying to do in all this. You know, something like this affects people in very different ways. People are affected and moved by what we're walking through in ways that maybe we're not. Frankly, you know, my disposition, I'm not a natural warrior. It takes a lot to get me, you know, kind of worked up. And honestly, at times it's to my detriment. I don't have the compassion that I need. I'm not in touch with the feelings oftentimes of other people. I'm just sort of even keel. And I believe that's where a lot of people are at with all this. Maybe for you, you think all this is overblown. You think that maybe it's some grand conspiracy that people are just taking way too serious. And that may be where you're at. In some ways, that may be a good thing that you're not bothered by. But that doesn't actually reduce our responsibility that we have to actually take care of people who are overwhelmed by this, who are maybe more vulnerable to this situation than we are. There are people maybe even listening to this message that you're a part of this service, that you're overwhelmed by fear today. That uncertainty is something that is a reality for you. That you watch the news and you wonder what all this is going to come to. And it's understandable because there's so much messaging, so many voices around, so many people worried about what may come, scared of sickness, scared of losing your job. You know, what is the economy going to do? What does all this mean? And maybe even to the fullest extent, maybe even scared of death itself. And maybe that's why you're here this morning. Maybe you're watching, maybe you're even considering things that you otherwise wouldn't, because whenever we walk through crisis like this, it oftentimes makes us open to things that we otherwise wouldn't, because it leaves us exposed and we feel not only we're in unprecedented and unpredictable times, but we feel particularly vulnerable in it. And so I'm glad that you're here. I'm glad that you're a part of this. And I believe that through this, I believe God wants to encourage you. I believe that he wants to bring hope into your world. And I believe he wants to bring real strength for you. And what I really want to do today is, you know, I believe in times like this, we need to be reminded more than we need to be instructed. This isn't going to be mind-blowing. I'm not going to give information that's probably, you know, earth-shattering and something that you don't already know. But I think that it's important that in crisis at times we forget the things that are most important. Maybe it's a good time for us to kind of stop and to pause and to turn down the noise, maybe change the channel, turn off some of the hysteria, creating news outlets that are around that are playing on our fears in order to drive ratings. You know, I believe it's important to be informed, but some of us are far more interested in what Anderson Cooper is saying than what God himself says about the situation that we're in. So I want to look at the scripture. If we look at Psalm 112, if you got it, you can go there. Psalm 112 is a great source. You know, there's a lot of places we could go in the scripture to find encouragement, to find strength in this. I was praying about this message, and frankly, Psalm 112 is a very personal section of scripture for me that in a difficult season in my own life where there was a lot of unknowns and there was fears and concerns, it was like God just spoke to me, and I just want to speak it to you. Psalm 112:4 says, "Even in darkness, light dawns for the upright. For those who are gracious and compassionate and righteous." Verse 5, "God will come to those who are generous and lend freely, who conduct their affairs with justice. Surely the righteous will never be shaken. They will be remembered forever. They will have no fear of bad news. Their hearts are steadfast, trusting in the Lord. Their hearts are secure. They will have no fear." They will never be shaken. That word never is a pretty big word, isn't it? That no situation, though we walk through something that's going to be trying, that's going to be difficult, there's a sense that we will never walk through something that shakes us to our core, to where we feel unstable, where we feel insecure, that we have strength even in the middle of shaking. And then it says, they will have no fear of bad news. So we don't have to walk around with fearful expectation of what's to come. But actually, there's a promise for all of us to hold on to in the middle of all this. You know, one of the most, the most frequented command in the Bible is fear not. Fear not. And it doesn't mean that there's not going to be occasions to have fear. In fact, I've been afraid a lot. I've experienced things that scared me. You know, I've been on roller coasters, it was scary. You know, I picked up a snake and it was scary. I've seen storms and it was scary, right? But the Bible's not saying don't be afraid like that. What he's saying is don't be given over to debilitating fear. It means terror. Don't be controlled by our fear. Don't allow the feelings that we have to actually begin to determine the steps that we take. The reason that we're anxious, fearful and afraid as we're walking in what Psalm 112 said, in darkness. We don't know what's out there. Uncertainty and the unknown. And whenever you're in the dark, you don't know what this is going to work out. There's really only two choices that you can make in that. And that's really what I want to talk about today. Uncertainty is one of those troubling things, but it's also entertaining. One of my favorite types of movie is a mystery. I don't know if you enjoy a good mystery movie, but when you watch a mystery, you don't know how it's going to turn out, and that actually pulls you in, and you get on the edge of your seat, and the tension keeps you going. And whenever you're in one of those movies, I don't know if you've ever had this experience, but it's always terrible to be watching a movie like that with someone who's constantly asking questions. Did he do it? Do you think he did it? I think he did it. Right? It's like, just watch it. It plays out. And of course, the difference between watching a mystery on a movie is it's not your real life, big point, but it's also, you know how the movie, that you may not know how it's gonna end, but you know that it wouldn't be a good movie unless it ended with a tight, tidy, and neat ending. So you hold on. In fact, sometimes when I watch Netflix and I'm watching a mystery, you know, and I'm kind of holding, I'm wondering where this is going, I'll just tap on the screen and you can see the timeline at the bottom of the iPad, and you know there's only 12 minutes left and I can hang on for 12 minutes more. That's when it's fine. But what happens in life is not like that at all. There's no real guarantee for a tight, neat, and tidy ending. We don't know how long it's gonna last. Is it gonna get better or is it gonna get worse? And so we have to make a choice. Uncertainty is the starting point for both fear and trust. That's where it starts. We have a choice we have to make in fear and trust. You know, if you're in an uncertain time or you're faced with an unknown future, you can be scared about it, or you can trust. And when I say trust, I don't mean a passive trust, like there's nothing we can do about it, so why worry about it? But there's actually an active trust. You know, Jesus was very clear about what we could expect. You know, in this famous verse in Matthew 16, 33, he says, I've told you these things. He told the disciples what was gonna happen. He was gonna leave. He says, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. You can hang on to something. You know how this is gonna end. Then he says, in this world, major statement, in this world, you're gonna have trouble. Yeah. You can highlight that and you can say, in this world, you're gonna have the coronavirus. You're gonna have pandemics. You're gonna have stuff. You're gonna have stuff that you walk through. In this world, you have trouble, but take heart. Yeah. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Take heart. I have overcome the world. And I don't know if you've ever been in this situation, but that phrase, take heart, requires a great amount of effort. It doesn't come naturally. It doesn't happen easily. It's not passive. It's very active. Jesus never promised that everything would make sense, that everything would go right, exactly how he wanted it to go. That's not what he said. But we resist that. We know what the scripture says and we resist it. We think to ourselves, well, if I just made enough money, then that will eliminate uncertainty. Or if I go to the right church, or if I pray in faith, then somehow everything will work out. Sometimes it just doesn't. And there's no, I wish there was, but sometimes there's no real guarantee. You know, I was thinking about it. We live in the most secure and prosperous place in the world. And we are the most prosperous, we are the most secure generation that the world has ever known. So you think about the situation that we have been born in. We are the most fortunate generation that gets to live in the most secure and prosperous place that the world has ever known. And yet here we are. We live in the most certain place, and yet there's so many of us that are afraid. There are some things that you just can't take away. You can't make enough money to avoid it. You can't attend religious services to avoid it. There's just stuff that we walk through, and we have to know that. We walk through trials. Even though we have access to health care, most of us have never experienced what it really feels like to pray, give me my daily bread today, I need food today. We walk through trials and we wonder what happens. It's almost like it changes and shapes us when we walk through it. But trials, though we walk through them, are not, trials don't weaken our faith, they just expose our faith. You know, we think sometimes we walk through a trial that it created something. No, it just exposed it. It just revealed what was always there. It's sort of like refiner's fire. That's the metaphor that we have when we walk through trial. It's like gold that's refined in fire. And if you light up gold, it just exposes all the impurities. And it gives you an opportunity to sort through those things. And that's what we're experiencing. It doesn't create it. We are all sort of like a tube of toothpaste. Whatever gets squeezed, come out. If you get squeezed, who you are on the inside is ultimately going to come out. So here's a simple message today. Though we're in uncertainty, I believe that there's three things we can be certain of in an uncertainty. And it's just a reminder, it's very simple. First thing, God is present. God is present. When you read in the scripture and the command says, fear not, it doesn't follow up that command with, fear not, stop being ridiculous, you don't have anything to be afraid of. It doesn't say, fear not, this won't really hurt you. No, it says often, fear not, and there's a connection, fear not because I'm with you. I'm with you. And that makes all the difference. Isaiah 41:10, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Many people, when you walk through something like this, we wrongly conclude that what this must mean is that God is nowhere to be found. Some of us question the very character of God when we walk through something like this. You know, it's very interesting. Think about how we relate to God. Pretty much, we're glad that God creates everything, and then we have this sense that we're almost glad that he creates everything, and then he gets out of our way. We basically live most of our life forgetting what God has done and what God is actively doing until we need him. And then when we need him, he better come through how we want him to come through. His answers better be short and to the point. So think about it. We spend most of our time forgetting God, and then when we need him and he doesn't do what we want him to, we start blaming him for everything. We cross-examine him. And that's really our dilemma. In fact, the Bible makes this connection that the important thing to know in trial is that he's with us. Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. I want to encourage you, if you're watching today, no matter what's happening in your life, maybe you're overwhelmed, maybe you're wondering how this is going to work out. You're concerned whether or not you're going to have a job in a month. How are you going to pay the bills? If you don't have a vibrant relationship with him, I believe that he wants you to know that he's close to you, that he's a present help in a time of trouble. Whether you've experienced or not, he stands near. He says, draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. That he wants to be a part of your life. Sometimes when we walk through these kind of situations, it's like our safety nets have been removed. The crutches have been kicked out. We don't have our safety blanket anymore. We thought we could rest on, but when we discover that all of the stuff we depend on, our safety blanket is basically woven by empty promises. This was never going to be the thing that's going to provide us with security in the first place. But I have good news, is that God will fulfill his promise in you, whatever you've gone through and wherever you've been. Come on, can I get an amen in the living room this morning? All right, yeah. We don't have to be afraid of a pandemic, which seems almost wild. A pandemic, we don't have to be afraid of it. We can have peace in the middle of a pandemic. So trust him today and receive him. Jesus says that I've come to give you peace, but I don't give you peace like the world gives. You can have peace, not because everything is promised to be perfect and you don't have any problems, you don't have any aches and pains, your bills are paid for, your cupboard is full of food. He didn't give it as the world gives, he gives differently. Philippians 4, do not be anxious about anything. And that word anything includes what we're experiencing today. But in everything, in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That means that maybe what we need more than understanding everything and everything being laid bare is we need the peace that only comes with a real connection with God. God doesn't hear and answer our prayer. He hears and he answers faith. When we trust him, when we come to him and surrender trust, he comes through, and sometimes he answers that place of surrender and trust, not by giving us insight, but something happens and we actually have the peace that we need. The second thing we need to be reminded of is that God can use it. First thing is that God is present. The second thing is that God can use it, and that is a big can. Doesn't say that he will. Doesn't say that it's a guarantee. It says that he can. And the big point of that is if we let him, he can use it. If we choose to look at this in a different way than maybe we otherwise would, he can use it. He doesn't create pandemic. He doesn't create all the stuff that we experience. But how many know that he will use it in our life? He can use it to refine our faith, to expose things that need to be exposed, to set our priorities straight, to get things lined up in our life, to wake us up to reality. Maybe with all the distractions that are being removed, the kids are out of school, you can't gather with anybody. Pretty much you got to stay home if you're not going to work every day. And maybe that's a good thing. Maybe it actually gives you the opportunity to spend some uninterrupted time with some people that we've been neglecting. And God says, maybe I can use this. You don't have the distractions. You just be able to invest your time, invest your energy, and allow God to use this. You know, one of the things that we've been thinking about is how God might use this, not only in us, but in the people around us, and how we as a church might be generous in this season, how we can serve the vulnerable and the elderly, how we might be able to serve people that are working in the medical care industry that probably will be tasked with burdens that we don't have, or how can we serve kids that are dependent upon getting a free lunch every day at school and now they don't have the ability to, so maybe God puts us in a path to where we can love, bless, and serve people in the middle of their crisis. And maybe in the middle of that, and maybe in the generosity that springs out of trial, we actually find what we need to find. That he changes us as a result. There are people in your life that are more receptive to Christ than perhaps any other time. And if we would get out of ourselves and then begin to look around, we'd see it as a real opportunity. C.S. Lewis says, God whispers in our pleasures, but he shouts in our pains. It's his megaphone to rouse a deaf world. I've had conversations with people that are overwhelmed and they don't have answers. I think some of us have been Christians so long that we forget that people don't have hope like we have hope. Or that people don't have certainty and security like we have certainty and security. As difficult as it is for us to have. That they are out there on their own, and we're there to actually do something about it. God can use it. I love what Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 1 while he's in jail. He wrote to the church at Philippi, and he says, now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. What Paul is saying, me being here in jail has served to advance the gospel. I'm writing you a letter, and every jailer that's around me now knows the hope that I have in Christ. And if everything would have been perfect in my life, this jailer that I'm with wouldn't have had that experience. But you know what? It takes real maturity to think of it that way. All we can think of is how it inconveniences us, but just maybe if we look around and we begin to discover that maybe in the middle of all this, that God causes our paths to intersect people that he is desperately seeking, and he puts us in their path in order to respond to him. Number three, God will see us through it. God is present. God will use it. He will see us through it. Jesus asked an important word, and I'm going to close with this. Why do you worry? Why do you worry about your life, about what you're going to eat, about what you're going to wear, about where you're going to sleep? Why do you worry about tomorrow? Tomorrow will worry about itself. Why are you worried about your bills? Why are you worried about what you're going to eat and how you're going to feed your kids? Today has enough trouble of his own. He says, think about the lilies. Think about the birds. Solomon had everything that he needed, and yet the lilies and the birds have even more than Solomon had, and they're not worried. Don't be like those who don't know God. They have to worry and hurry for everything. But you have a heavenly Father who knows what you need. You know, worry is how atheists pray. Worry is how people that don't have God in their life, that don't know they have a Father that's going to provide for them. And that's really how we end up operating as well. You have a daddy who will take care of you. I saw my youngest son when he got out of school Friday, and I just got a notification on my phone that school was going to be canceled for 2 weeks. And so my son already knew that he was going to be on spring break. And so I came and I said, son, I just got a notification Well, the first thing I said is, did they talk anything about the coronavirus? Do you know anything about what's going on? He said, no, they didn't talk about it at all. I'd been watching the news all day, been freaking out. The NBA is canceled. Everything is canceled and falling apart. And here comes my 11-year-old son bounding in the door, completely oblivious. And I said, son, they just announced that no school for 2 weeks. What do you think his response was? Yes. I'm freaking out, of course. And he's just like, yes, I get to stay up all night. I get to play video games. He's completely unaware. He doesn't know the cruelties of life. In many ways, they're buffered by a dad who takes care of him, a mom who takes care of him. And I found in that moment, no wonder Jesus said, unless you change and become like a child, you can't enter the kingdom. You're so stressed out and worried about things, and you don't realize that you have a dad who takes care of you. I want to close, if I can, I want to invite our campus pastors. We've all gathered here, and I want to invite them to come up. And in just a moment, I want to speak Psalm 91 over you and over your family. But before I do, I just want to ask you, if you can, if we can just take a minute, just bow your heads right where you're at. Just reflect over your life, where you're at, and what's happening in your life today. Maybe feel overwhelmed by uncertainty, scared. You don't know what's ahead. The future seems so scary to you. Afraid of being sick, maybe afraid of dying. Just want to challenge you that maybe today is a moment in time where you put down fear and you pick up trust. If you're listening to me today and are overwhelmed by fear and you don't know Jesus Christ, you don't know him as your Savior, you don't know him as your Lord, you're living your life on your own terms, and whether it's the coronavirus or something else, it's inevitable that things will be taken away and you'll be vulnerable again. I want to invite you to trust Christ today and receive the peace that he's come to give. I'm going to pray this prayer, and I want you to mean it from your heart, because I believe that God wants to meet you right where you're at, no matter where you're at. You don't have to be in a church to encounter him. You can be right where you are. So I'm going to pray this prayer, and the best you can from your heart, if you would pray this prayer, I believe that God will meet you here. Jesus, thank you for loving me. Thank you for caring for me. I'm not alone. I trust you with my life. I believe you're my Savior, my Lord. Forgive me of my sin. Make me new. I receive your peace, your hope. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to conclude this service today with a declaration from Psalm 91. It's a great promise to hold on to. Maybe as a great thing for your family, just to speak it over to your family this week in the coming days. And I want to pray this over you. So just in a prayerful moment, I want to read Psalm 91, and we're going to just pray God's blessing and his protection over each one of you. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and your rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near your dwelling. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. And if you say, the Lord is my refuge, and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against the stone. You will tread on the lion and on the cobra, and you will trample the great lion and serpent, because he loves me, says the Lord. I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with long life. I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. God, I pray over every individual and for us as a church and a community in the days ahead, Lord God, keep us safe, keep us wise, keep us in confidence, secure in our hope and our confession. God, I pray that you would strengthen every weary soul, God, everyone that's hurting, God, that you would encourage those who are downtrodden, Lord, in despair, God, that you would give hope, God, that you give wisdom to our officials, to the people in leadership roles, God, and we pray for mercy, Lord. We pray for your mercy. We look to you for mercy. We expect your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you. We love you, and we'll see you next time.